I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, Swami Tirtha, known as the Hip Guru Guide, has a doctorate in Ayurvedic medicine, and over the past 40 years, he has written several books, including the Amazon number one bestseller in its category, the Ayurveda Encyclopedia, with 30,000 copies in print. He has been a monk since 1990. His international speaking has taken him to speak to the White House Alternative Medicine Commission and several medical colleges, including Johns Hopkins. Swami was recognized as a monk by his guru in the Himalayas and as a natural-born shaman and healer by shamans in the Amazon rainforest. He began his spiritual path as a college freshman in 1972 when he lost his parents in an auto accident. That tragic event awoke his search for inner peace. Swami's latest book, The Stress-Free College Student, is meant to help reduce the 80% anxiety, depression, and 50% dropout rate among college students. Bryant University's Pinterest page, Books Worth Reading, has added his book to their shelf, now sitting beside their list of 50 books that changed the world. Swami blends ancient wellness and consciousness with modern cutting-edge EEG brainwaves and heart rate variability scanning technology. He offers his breakthrough expertise to students and entrepreneurs addressing their stress management, wellness, and life calling. His website, www.thehipguru.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Swami, and I look forward to hearing about your work with students, Ayurveda, medicine, and spirituality. Now first, what are the most stressful things that students face?
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me. There's been research from Harvard and from a number of places, including the psychological, emotional organizations. And the number one and number two stressors are the workload at college and the finances, paying for college and worrying about your parents at home and how they're surviving economically. Those are the two biggest stressors that are affecting college students, according to the research.
Mm-hmm. I see that Obama wants to have free education for the first 2 years at the junior colleges. And this, Europe has had free education for years.
Wow.
But how do you think this is going to go with Congress?
Well, that's not my specialty, Carl. I could tell you that if it's free for students, that will relieve a great, huge burden, economical burden, from the students' minds and hearts, because right now the studies show that 80% or more of students are anxious or depressed, and 50% are dropping out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And if students get one of their two key stressors taken care of for 2 years, that's certainly going to help them along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the students are our future, and we want them to grow healthy and strong, not stressed and depressed.
Right, right. Well, I know how stressful that is, because when I worked on my baccalaureate, I was making $3,000 a year as a registered nurse. I worked at Bellevue. I went to school in the evenings at New York University, and I was paying $30 a credit. And so I always had loans, because $3,000 a year hardly paid to live on, because, you know, with an apartment and with food and transportation and all the things that you need. And so, you know, I had to take out loans, and I was paying for my education long after I finished my baccalaureate. So I know how stressful that can be. There were times when I would use the bathroom at the hospital before I went home, so I didn't have to buy as much toilet paper. So
yeah, you lean, know, mean days.
You have to do what you have to do to get by on minimal amount of money, and you have to be highly motivated to stay in education in order to do this. So I understand where the students are, and I hope this passes, but I'm not overly optimistic. So,
well, more and more colleges and universities are offering some form of stress management. Some of them are very simple, such as time management. And then there are others that are really getting into mindful meditation and brainwave patterns, EEG brainwaves. So, which is going to be more effective. When I speak at the colleges, I actually show the students, I take them through an exercise where we tap the different acupuncture or Ayurvedic points on the head and the face, and they actually feel their stress drop 50 to 80% or more within the 1 minute exercise. It totally amazes them, and it gives them an aha moment that, wow, you know, maybe I don't have to live with the stress.
Right.
And that's a very exciting seed to plant for people.
Right. Yep. Then, Swami, how did you get interested in wellness?
Well, Carl, for me, it all started when I was a college freshman. My parents were in a car crash, and they died. They didn't survive that. And when I went back to college, everything that I loved, you know, my joy for, I was in radio, television, and film. And I got back to college, and I just didn't care about it anymore. The only thing I was trying to figure out is how to survive, how to, you know, keep my head above water. And one day on campus, there was a lecture for meditation. And this goes back, Carl, to 1973, 74, somewhere there. So nobody really heard about meditation or yoga back then. And so for me, it was like, well, I've got nothing else is working. Let me try this, whatever this thing is. I think the Beatles did it. That was about all I knew. And I'll tell you, I got a little sense of peace from it. A little inner peace, and it really got me excited. And then, of course, all the other discussions of ESP and things like that that you see on Star Trek, that got me very excited. And so when I graduated college, I decided I want to be a teacher of meditation and yoga to help other people, because this was the most amazing thing that ever happened to my life. Over the years, as I stayed in that, I came across a very the Ayurvedic system from India, which is the holistic wellness system. And little by little, these things just, I kept finding things that really worked for me. What works for me, then I share them with other people.
It's interesting you mentioned back in the 70s, because I was interviewed at the university in Pennsylvania. And they were looking for a chair for their nursing program. And about the first thing I asked them was, are there groups that meditate here? And they looked at me like I was from outer space. So I had experience, like you say, of, you know, they didn't know what, they had heard of meditation, but they thought this was some strange thing. And needless to say, I didn't go there, because I thought, well, first of all, they don't know much about meditation, and they apparently don't have a very good opinion of it. And second, they told me, it was in Pittsburgh, and they told me that there could be a week at a time during the winter months when you couldn't get in or out of the area. And I thought, well, I don't always travel, but I don't want to be anywhere where I can't leave if I want to leave. So I didn't go there. But like you say, they didn't know much about meditation. And I had learned because of my contact with Edgar Cayce. And so I had, you know, had been in a Search for God group through the Edgar Cayce material. And also I had gone to camp, the Cayce camp in the summer, because I was teaching, I was off summer, so I'd volunteer and I'd go as the camp nurse in the summer. And so that's where I started learning about holistic health, was through the Cayce readings and using them at camp. And so it was Casey that introduced me to meditation and yoga and a more holistic approach to life and to health.
That's a great life.
Then you mentioned, you know, you could relieve stress in 60 seconds. Can you give us an example how you can do this?
Sure. It's best done as a visual, but I will talk you through it. And I do have a free video on my website that you can, I'd actually demonstrate it and you can move along with it.
Great.
The approach is called emotional freedom technique or tapping. And it's where there are certain points on our head, on our face, on our neck that relate to acupuncture points or Ayurvedic marma points. They're energy points where stress builds up. It's sort of like we have energy. Energy in our body travels along channels like roads. And just like if there's a traffic accident on the road, the traffic is going to back up. And when the traffic accident is cleared up, then the road flows again. So there are certain points in our body where generally the energy accidents happen. And by tapping there, you release the energy blocks. So the first thing we do is we do a very gentle karate chop in our palm. And we say something like, even though I'm feeling very anxious when I study for exams, I fully love and accept myself. Or whatever it is, even though I have a stiff neck, or even though I have test anxiety, or even though I can't, whatever a person's biggest issue is, I just say, even though I have this, I still love myself. Mm-hmm. You accept yourself and you don't judge yourself. And then after doing that three times, then we tap the points on the head, on the top of the head, by the eyebrows, on the sides of the eyes, and a few other places. And we say positive affirmations like, I have a great memory. My focus when I study is wonderful. I do very well on tests. I'm very calm when I feel more calm when I study.
Mm-hmm.
We just say positive affirmations, or it may also be, there are other techniques like neuro-linguistic programming where you distort the reality field and you say the positive thing, even though the group think is not that. I'll tell you what I mean. I was giving a week-long seminar at St. George's Medical University in Grenada.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the groups that I was talking with, the student was telling me that he gets stressed out when he studies for exams. I said to him, so you get stressed out? He goes, well, of course, everybody does. I said, okay, but what if we turn it around? Let's just try this and say, no, when I study for exams, I get less stressed. And then I had him tap that out, and all of his stress went away. And the funny thing is, it got to a deeper issue that was there, that was plaguing him, which was his love of music, of piano, that he never got to play piano anymore. Should I become a doctor, or should I drop out and study piano and become a pianist? So I said, well, what if you can do both at the same time? So we tapped for that, and boy, he went out of there glowing. You know, he got the best of all worlds possible. So it's a wonderful tool. And my website is thehipguru.com. The is THEHIP for Peter, GURU, thehipguru.com. And under free videos, you'll see how to melt stress in 60 seconds or less. And then I have a report, a free report, that gives another tip of how to release stress in less than 60 seconds or less. So folks are welcome to check that out.
Great. Good. Then, Swami, why were you drawn to Ayurvedic medicine, Ayurvedic wellness?
Yeah, Carl, that's for me, my life, I always fall into things. You know, I may try for even one direction, but I wind up falling in a hole, which is really what I needed. And I was living in New York City for a number of years, working in the city. And every winter, I'd catch the flu like so many people. And I just was getting frustrated year after year, and I started going to the health food store and tried Western herbalism and Chinese herbalism and whatever they had there. And nothing really worked out well. And then I was reading a book about Ayurveda, or I was reading a book, and it talked about Ayurveda. And it turned out there was an Ayurvedic shop in Manhattan. So I went to the shop, and he gave me some herbs for the flu. And I went home, and I put it in a glass of water, and I drank it. And all of a sudden, without even me knowing it, like I didn't know it, but I was tilted, like energetically, I was tilted to my right. And as I drank that liquid, my body straightened up. I mean, I wasn't literally walking tilted, but I felt like I suddenly straightened up inside of myself. I was balanced. I suddenly felt balanced. And I didn't have a flu anymore. And I said, wow, the flu for me is something not outside that came in. It was an imbalance. And number two is nothing in my life ever worked that quickly. I got to learn about this system. So that's when I started studying Ayurveda in this country. And then I went to India for my advanced study.
And you wrote the Ayurvedic Encyclopedia. Can you tell us why you did that?
Yes, Carl. I had a little Ayurvedic shop on Long Island, New York, at a time where nobody heard of Ayurveda. This was before it became quite popular. And my students, I was teaching Ayurveda to a number of medical doctors and yoga people. And one of the doctors said, "Why don't you write a book on Ayurveda?" And there was only maybe three books on Ayurveda at the time. So I just started writing the book. I got all the old original texts from India that were translated into English and all the modern books about Ayurveda. Maybe there was more than three books, I guess, now that I think about it. And it took me 6 years, but I put together this complete version of just about everything you want to know about Ayurveda. And I was very happy on its own. You know, without me even trying, it was on the number one Amazon for a year or more. And then it stayed on the top 10 list for many years, 30,000 copies in print. So I'm very happy that, you know, with that, people are just finding the book and helping people that way.
Right. Yeah. Great. Can you tell us about some of the herbs that one can use?
Sure.
I know it's a big field.
I guess I'll preface this by saying I'm just saying this as an educational statement. I'm not trying to diagnose or cure anybody here. But the Ayurvedic texts tell us that, for example, if you're for people who are stressful, it's been found that if you use Gatu Kola, which is a Western herb as well as an Ayurvedic herb, that tends to calm the brain in a lot of people. That's what people tell us. That's what the Ayurvedic texts tell us. So if you're studying for exams and you're feeling stressed, you know, in India, a lot of the college students take that herb around exam time. And sandalwood, which is like an incense, they say, Ayurveda says that it helps with your concentration and memory. So if you use sandalwood oil, in India the students will use sandalwood oil or sandalwood incense and keep that smell going while they're studying. So it calms them down, and it also helps them concentrate and improve their grades. And that, you know, you got to study. You can't just, you know, you can't fake it. Everything's an edge. You got to put in the effort. You got to study. You got to do the work. But these things just help make it that much easier for you.
Sandalwood was always one of my favorites to use when I was meditating.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Then, Swami, are there any ways to measure holistic and energy healing?
Well, Carl, actually, I just recently started working with a new technology that actually blends the, it takes your pulse, and then it has the heart rate variability, which is something that Western medicine accepts. And it ties it to the Chinese meridians and the Ayurvedic doshas, Ayurvedic constitution. So whatever your practice is, you can see the results, and you could sit down with a doctor, or if you're a doctor, you could sit down with a holistic practitioner, and see if we can find some replicable patterns. I mean, this is what research is. If every time you see this in the Ayurvedic scan, Mm-hmm. And the doctor says, every time you see that, I see this in the heart rate scan. Now we've got a potential research project. So it's really, we're at the beginning of an age where I feel Western medicine and holistic healing, wellness, are going to be able to work together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the proof, looks like the proof is starting to be there with technology such as this.
Mm-hmm. Do you have information about that on your website?
I do. If you look at the training, the fourth or fifth drop-down is called a Beta Pulse. Under training, Beta Pulse Cutting Edge East-West Technology Research Tool.
Great. Good.
So it's the top menu, training, Beta Pulse Cutting Edge East-West Technology Research Tool.
Good.
I've got a page. I've got videos. I've got maybe 8 videos where I'm interviewed about this, and it's actually a FDA registered product. And there's all kinds of pictures and of the charts and everything like that.
Then we all need a little spirituality in our lives, and how can we apply this in our day-to-day life?
How can we apply spirituality in our day-to-day life?
Right.
That's a great question, Carl, because that's where spirituality belongs. I feel it's interesting. Like, you read sometimes of an ancient culture that worshiped the tree or something like that, and you say, well, why did they worship that tree? And if you think about it practically, well, that tree had fruit on it, and it fed them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe their definition of worship was just gratitude, and we're looking for something bigger and more mysterious than that. Anything that brings us joy, anything that brings us peace, anything that increases our love for ourselves or others, that would be my definition of spiritual. So if you are, there are days where I may not feel that great, but then I run into someone who's worse off than me, and I help them in some way, maybe it's just a kind word or something, and all of a sudden I feel better.
Right.
So that's a form of spirituality. If we eat healthy, if we balance ourselves through eating proper foods that nurture us, that's kind of a spirituality. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, there's a big myth about meditation. And to this day, people still say to me, oh, I can't meditate. I can't keep the thoughts out of my mind. But that's not the goal. I mean, that's not what meditation is about. The meditation is to help you relax or feel better. Sometimes you sit there quietly. Sometimes you sit there and contemplate. Sometimes you're out in the world helping people or building something to help the world. There's so many forms of meditation. Meditation's become it's been pigeonholed into this thing back from the 70s, I think, Carl, where we thought, oh, the way to meditate is sit in lotus position and look at your navel. And that's just one of many ways to do it. And if you're cooking dinner, you might light some incense and put on some meditation music and understand you're preparing food and put love into it, and you're serving your family and your friends. That becomes spiritual. Really, what it comes to is what in life is not spiritual.
Right.
Everything can be spiritual if we put our hearts to it.
Your comment that spirituality should be day-to-day brought back a comment from a friend of mine years ago, and he said, in the future, people will point to the church and they will say, that's where they used to try to capture God on Sundays. Of course, I don't see spirituality the same as religion. I see them as two separate things, and I know you do also. But I thought that was an interesting concept.
Yeah, I think the two can exist together. There can be, ideally, there would be spirituality everywhere, including in a religious edifice. But for some people, the being out in the woods, being out in nature, that's a wonderful cathedral as well.
Can you tell us, I think it's always interesting, why someone devotes their life to spiritual practices. Can you tell us a bit about why you went to India and why you have put your energies in this direction?
Sure, Carl. I, at the time, I don't think I ever said to myself, initially, I'm going to devote my life to this,
mm-hmm.
because it's too soon in life. You're just exploring. I was 18 years old when my parents died.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I got involved because I needed it to survive. And so you become,
mm-hmm.
it's something you just want to do. I know people who have gone into therapy, and they were helped so much they became therapists.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who have gone to Weight Watchers and been helped so much they become Weight Watcher coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a natural state. We get help. We want to give back. And I think that's how it really started for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really couldn't imagine, in a strange way, my life with meditation was even better than it was when my parents were alive. And that's a very strange thing to say,
mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Right.
Obviously, I love my parents. I wish mm-hmm. that they had never died. But connecting to a higher purpose, connecting to myself, connecting to my spirit, I never got that
mm-hmm.
until I started to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
No, in an ideal world, that would have come to me with my parents alive.
Right.
But that didn't happen for me. So making the best of a bad situation, that was a very wonderful life for me at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because everything that I fell into was from India, when I found Ayurveda, that too was from India. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't do it because it was from India, but it just happened to be. And then I finally said, you know, what I'm doing in the world, it's just not that meaningful to me. And so I know I can't make much money in this, but
mm-hmm.
it's a much more rewarding world. So let me go to India and let me sort of steep myself in the traditions of healing and wellness and meditation. And I found a spiritual teacher there. I found Ayurvedic doctors to teach me there. And I just couldn't imagine anything else. It was really from experience, Carl, I think,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
when I worked in a real-world job, it became very empty to me. And when I worked with wellness and spirituality, I was wealthy beyond compare within my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, everybody's yoga is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Wellness, healing,
right.
wellness
right.
is everywhere. People can make money at it now, and so it's a lot easier for people.
Right.
Young kids today, they grow up with this stuff. In fact, when I was a kid, it was not even in the country yet.
Right. 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 Well, that's a wonderful journey, and I'm so glad that you took that journey, because I know from some of my experiences how rewarding, you know, the spirituality is in one's life. And mm. I can't imagine not having spirituality in my life, which, like many people, I didn't have it in my early years. It came later in life. And the whole thing of the meditation, the prayer, the affirmations, the helping others, trying to live a better life through practicing patience, forgiveness, love, etc., is to me what living is all about. So I have some feel for where you are in your journey, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, there's a I was in Ecuador in around 2010 or so,
mm-hmm.
and I met the shamans in the Amazon rainforest, and they said that they have a prophecy that basically that science and spirit are going to come together in this new age,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I personally starting to see that with the technology tool, the Veda Pulse that I was talking
mm-hmm.
about with
right.
you, and the fact that people can now be healers and make money at it, meaning they can survive,
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't have to be either or anymore. And I think we're at the dawn of a really important era where
right.
people can,
mm-hmm.
The children today are waking up, growing up, being born into this time where spirituality is there for them in, you know, in every yoga class and in every health food store, unlike what you and I grew up with. And the research tools are proving the spirit. I was told by some doctors that in medical colleges around the country, in secret, they are testing shamanic energy medicine. Mm-hmm. And they do it in secret so they don't get laughed at.
Right.
But they, you know, to their credit, they want to see, does it work? And if it works, it should be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very exciting time that doctors and healers and shamans are all able to come together, or will be able to more easily come together.
Right. I agree. I think that there's still some things that need to be worked out, and I see this especially in the whole cancer realm. And I was saddened to see recently that the 17-year-old girl who took two chemo treatments and decided she did not want that, she wanted to use a more natural approach. And the federal state agencies got involved and have now told her that she has to do chemo. This is, to me, is not moving in the right direction, and it's not really a behavior that I would expect in a democracy. But so there are things like that, and I think it's especially with the agencies, less so with the practitioners, because I think many of the doctors and all that I know are moving in the right direction, even though some of them have been penalized. And I've seen this with several of the alternative doctors in cancer care who have been, if they can't get their license, they've been sued and they have, you know, had to pay a lot of money to defend themselves. So, but overall, I think we're moving in the right direction.
I think so, too. More and more people are asking their doctors about holistic health, and they're teaching more holistic health in the colleges now, in the medical colleges. So it's, and the general speak from doctors is that there is some benefit to it. I mean, there's a plethora of research out there. If you go to PubMed.com or .org or whatever, there's just the research is overwhelming that wellness, holistic wellness, is efficacious.
Then, Swami, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your book and services and how the listeners can reach you again?
Oh, well, Carl, I think I would say overall, if you remember anything from today's interview, follow your heart, follow your intuition. If you really feel something, test it out or go deeper or look more deeply into it. But as you were saying, don't do something just because everyone else tells you that's the way it has to be done. I think we have our internal GPS. Maybe it would be called a God positioning satellite. And I think that's really our strongest tool to use, along with logic and reason. But not to use logic and reason alone.
Right.
Because we are spirit. We're spiritual people.
Right. Then, Swami, would you tell us about your books, services, and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure, Carl. Thank you for that. You can find all of my books and services on my website, thehipguru.com, thehipguru.com. And I have my Ayurveda encyclopedia. I have a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And my new book for students is called The Stress-Free College Student. And, of course, it applies to anyone who has stress. And I train people to practice Ayurveda as certified practitioners. I have a medical intuitive course that I work with doctors and wellness people with so they can develop their intuition. I have another course that I'm just developing called the Vital Longevity, to help seniors live really golden life in their golden years. And that's all at thehipgurusguide.com.
And your courses, people come there, and you're, you said then, in New York State?
Oh, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, everything is online right now, so you don't have to drive anywhere or fly anywhere. You do this in the comfort of your own life and lifestyle.
Oh, good. Yeah. So the courses are online, too?
Yes, sir.
Great. Good. 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 And if you'll one more time give us your website.
It's TheHipGuru, T-H-E-H-I-P-G-U-R-U, TheHipGuru.com.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Swami. It's been very interesting, and I know it will be helpful, and I'm sure that you will be hearing from some of the listeners that are interested a lot.
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Carl. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My second guest, Brett Larkin, teaches yoga and meditation at top San Francisco studios, companies like Google and Pinterest, and on her YouTube channel, where thousands of students have studied with her for over 4 million minutes. Beginners and intermediate yogis can enjoy Brett's online course on personalizing your yoga and finding the style of yoga that's right for you. A lifelong dancer, Brett's classes have been described as serene and strong, and challenging yet placating at the same time. Her online class, Detoxifying Yoga Flow, was named one of the top 5 online yoga workouts of 2013. Yoga teachers can enjoy Brett's few yoga playlists, yoga teacher training tips, and her online yoga business course. More information is available at www.brettlarkin.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Brett, and I look forward to hearing about yoga and meditation. Now, there are various types of yoga. Can you tell us what you mean by yoga?
Sure. So I think one of the things that has gotten complicated for people is that exactly there are so many different types of yoga these days. Mm-hmm. It can be really overwhelming going to a yoga studio or, you know, just being exposed to how many different kinds. But basically, when I say yoga, what I really mean is the link of breath and movement. So any kind of movement that you're doing where you're mindfully breathing and doing yogic breathing while moving. So just breath and movement combined is really sort of my definition or what I mean when I talk about yoga.
Great, good. Then you also, well, you say that everyone can do yoga and everyone can benefit from it. Is this true? And what do you mean by this?
Yeah, this really is true because I think people can get intimidated, especially if they see online or on social media, people in these like pretzel-like positions or, you know, yoga just coming across as something that only for people who are really fit and really athletic. And that's just not true. I mean, when the definition of yoga I just gave, which is linking breath and movement, that can be as simple as, you know, lying on the floor and moving your arms above your head and back down. I think something that a lot of people don't know is that there are so many different kinds of yoga, and many of them are extremely restorative. There's even something called chair yoga, which is for people who can only do exercise while seated. So really everyone can benefit through linking breath and movement. It's been really profound in my life in helping me feel centered and grounded. So my biggest message is that, you know, it's not just coming into a pretzel. It's really something that's available to all of us.
I took yoga and practiced it for many, many years, but it's been many, many years since I've done it also. And I got so I could do the shoulder stand, but I never attempted headstand.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people also get caught up on, you know, the poses and what poses they can do and what poses they can't do. And really, so much of yoga is like an internal exploration. So while it's great to challenge ourselves and want to be able to do certain poses, really it's kind of different from everything we really have in the Western world, which is about achieving a goal or achieving a specific aim or kind of getting ahead, getting to someplace. really the journey of yoga is it's about being with yourself and connecting deeper in. So that can be really confusing at the beginning because unlike a lot of other sports or physical fitness, you can get caught up in those external goals, but that's not really the aim of what yoga is truly about.
Right. I think some of it is kind of flexibility, and I remember I hadn't done anything for a while, and I went to lay down and raise my legs and put them over my head and touch my toes to the floor behind me, and I didn't get very far. So what I did was I took two pillows and I put behind me, and I would raise my body and let my feet, my toes hit the two pillows, and then after doing that for several days or weeks, I got down to one pillow, and then after several weeks more, I got down to the floor again. So
yeah, that's great, and that's such another great point that you bring up, which is that there are so many props available to us in yoga. You are able to modify the practice right from the beginning. And I think that also doesn't get enough exposure that, you know, you can use blocks, you can use pillows. I mean, obviously I teach on YouTube, so people are teaching in their home. You can use a table, you can use a chair. You know, if you can't touch the floor, you can bring the floor to you by doing a fold and, you know, putting your hands on a table. So, you know, that's a huge part of it.
And it all helps, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Then you also say that most people never find the style of yoga that's right for them. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so what I tend to see, and I think what happens for a lot of people, is they have they hear yoga is good for them, right? Either from their doctor or from a friend. And so they're like, okay, I'm going to go do yoga. And most of them, what happens is they end up going to, you know, whatever yoga studio is closest to their house at whatever time is convenient for them to take a class. And, you know, it makes sense to do it that way. But the reality is with, you know, that's kind of like playing Russian roulette, right? Just because there's so many different types of yoga, there's so many different styles of teachers that people will sometimes, you know, maybe that studio nearby is like a hot yoga studio and they're looking for, you know, pain relief or, you know, they have a limited range of motion, or maybe that studio next door is a power yoga studio. And they really need like Iyengar, alignment-based, you know, much slower-paced yoga. And I think people often don't realize that just like the yoga that might be the most convenient near their house isn't really representative of the full spectrum of yoga. And I see what happens is they go to a couple classes and it turns out not to be quite what they're looking for, or they push themselves too hard and get injured, as a lot of us tend to do because we're used to doing that in other activities, like always pushing ourselves to our limit. And then they get turned off. And that makes me really sad because the reality is that there is a type of yoga that works for everyone, but you need to be proactive in seeking out what that is, getting really curious. And then once you find it, not even taking it at face value, but really personalizing it for you. So saying, you know, these sets of poses work for me, these don't. You know, I like doing this, I'm going to modify all of this. I think yoga really calls on each of us to become our own teacher. And that's what I focus on when I'm teaching. It's like, I'm not teaching you, I'm teaching you how to be your own teacher. And I think that's something that people can just miss when they just walk into like the yoga class at their gym studio, you know? So I really encourage people to know that yoga has so many different forms and they should think of trying to find their perfect practice, which is going to be maybe a combination of different things, and that they need to be really proactive about seeking out what works best for them. And online is such a great way to do that because you can do it anytime and anywhere. And, you know, class time is when you feel like it. So it's good.
Can you tell us a simple position that people could use if they were brand new and they wanted to try a position to see if they even wanted to do anything with it? Can you tell us a simple position they could get into?
Absolutely. The position I'd recommend, and it's one I come back to and try to do almost every day, is child's pose. It's one of the easiest positions to do. How you do it is you just sit down on the floor with your heels tucked underneath you, and then you just fold forward. And, you know, you can use pillows underneath your feet. You can use books underneath your head if you can't get your head all the way to the ground. But child's pose, and people can look it up if they want to see a picture, is so deeply beneficial because it's a restorative pose, so, you know, it's very easy, but it's subtly stretching the hip, the inner groin, and you get to rest your head on the floor or hopefully books if you can't get your head to the floor. And that's really soothing for the nervous system, just to have the forehead resting on something solid. So that would be the pose that I really recommend. Even just getting in it for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes a day will really just change your outlook. And what's magical about it is I find when you do that one pose, you end up wanting to do more, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect gateway. It's easy to start with, and then, you know, it gets you in a position where you're like, oh, I could stretch a little more, you know? I feel like moving around a little bit. So that would be the one I recommend.
Great, great, good. Well then, Brett, would you tell us about your services, products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. I mean, the best way for listeners to get in touch, and I'm excited if anyone wants to reach out, is a couple ways. So I have a yoga channel on YouTube, which has so many videos, many meditations, and it's all completely free. So you can just go to youtube.com/Brett Larkin Yoga or Google Brett Larkin Yoga, and you'll find the YouTube channel. On my website, which is brettlarkin.com, B-R-E-T-T is my first name, and then Larkin, L-A-R-K-I-N, brettlarkin.com, I have a contact button. So if anyone has additional questions, they can contact me. And I also have the course that I mentioned that I sell, which is, it's called 7 Steps to a Yoga Practice You'll Love Your Whole Life. And what differentiates it from a lot of other yoga courses, which are just like yoga for beginners or whatever, it starts with the idea of you needing to find the type of yoga that's right for you. So I actually give, in quick, fun, short little videos, overviews of all the different styles of yoga and why you may or may not like them. And then I go over all the different breathing techniques. And then I, you know, give a lot of tips on how you can be your own best teacher and how you can avoid injury. So again, I approach it less as learn this pose, learn that pose. It's more, you know, this group of poses works like this, and, you know, as your own teacher, and this is what you should know about them, kind of thing. So the whole course is through that approach, and that course is also available through my website. If they just go to the, I think there's a button on the top. Yeah, I have a little button that says shop, and if they just go there, they'll be able to find the course.
Great. Good.
So, yeah.
And give us the website again.
It's brettlarkin.com, B-R-E-T-T-L-A-R-K-I-N.com, brettlarkin.com.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brett. I appreciate this. It'll be interesting for the listeners to hear, and I imagine that some of them will be in touch with you. Because of time constraints, it is not possible to complete the interview with Brett Larkin today. We will have the second part of her interview, which is on meditation, during the next program. I thank you for joining us today on the Holistic Health Show. In the time left, I would like to tell you about the new Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation. As you know, I am a 40-year lung cancer survivor who was given 6 months to live and subsequently decided to use all natural, holistic interventions that were very successful in my life. You also know that I wrote my experience in a book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer, Using Alternative Integrative Interventions, so that others could follow a holistic approach as I did. The next step seemed to be to establish a foundation to bring word to other people that the holistic approach can be very successful. I envisioned holistic approach as including physical, mental, spiritual, relationships, environment, and politics. So that our foundation varies from others in that we do look at a holistic approach. We do focus on all types of cancer, and we do focus on education, research, and patient care. We are starting this year to build our website, which will have a variety of interviews with cancer survivors, with cancer physicians, with people who use alternative approaches such as affirmations, prayer, visualization, meditation, serving others, and more. Our goals for the foundation then are to provide education to the public on the holistic approach to cancer treatment. Second would be to provide funding for research on holistic cancer interventions. And third would be to provide financing for those who suffer from cancer and want alternative natural treatments. In order to do this, we need public funding. And so this year, we will be focusing on the educational piece, and also we'll be focusing on hopefully providing funding for one grant. So I hope you will consider donating to my foundation. On the website, which is holisticcancerfoundation.com, you'll find a place to donate, and I hope you will consider donating so that this foundation will move forward, helping others to use a holistic approach in cancer treatment. On the website, you will also find research on some of the alternative interventions, such as affirmations, meditation, prayer, visualization, as well as the research on natural ways to deal with cancer for the year 2014, including things like nutrition, diagnoses, etc. I hope you will go to the site and look it over and give me some feedback as to what else you might like to see on the website. There are a couple sections that are not complete, but we are working on those at this point. Again, the website is holisticcancerfoundation.com. I have a tax-free status so that you can deduct your donations from your income tax in the United States. I invite you to my websites, www.holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows from the last 5.5 years under the blog with a search engine so you can look for a specific topic. You will also find a place to sign up for a free monthly newsletter on holistic health and the latest information on research on cancer, also under the blog. I also invite you to my website, beatlungcancer.net, where you will find information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. You will also find endorsements. You will find additional information about the book, and you will also find a site where you can purchase the book from me, or you can also purchase it at Amazon.com. I also invite you to join me on Facebook under Carl Helvey or under Holistic Health Show or under Beat Lung Cancer. I also invite you to join me on LinkedIn under Carl Helvey or on Twitter under Holist Health Show. I hope you've enjoyed the show today, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.